heard news that this coming Saturday morning, Friday evening, we're at Tier Red, and some more lockdowns coming on, and the people are afraid.
Yeah.
And the Bible says over 365 times, fear not.
Yeah.
Right? The children of Israel, when they were in Egypt and the plagues came over the land, none of the plagues came near them. Why? Because they were God's chosen people. And let me tell you this today, as spiritual born again believers, we are God's chosen people. You know, God is not just interested in the physical side of Israel itself, but He's interested, more interested, I could take it further but I won't at the moment, but He's definitely more interested in His spiritual body, the bride of Christ, than He is about physical beings. But to those who are in Christ, we have the protection of the blood and the power of God over our lives. I believe that. I've lived in it. I've experienced it. Yes, there are times when I have been sick. Yes, there have been times when I have gone and fought battles. And there has been, I mean, there was a time when I was bedridden for 6 months. I had to crawl to the bathroom. For 12 weeks, I could not be bothered to shave. I could not care. I didn't care whether I died or not. I was in so much pain. But then the battle went further than that. And I came to that point where it's like, I'm not putting up with this anymore. And I made a conscious effort and I began more and more to believe God that He could heal me and set me free without an operation, because they said I needed an operation. Doncaster had arranged 2 dates for me. They kept ringing me up, when are you coming? I said, I'm not. One of the main reasons was that I wasn't going was because they told me that after the operation I couldn't ride my motorcycle again. It's like, forget it, you know. Hey, what good's that, eh? Not a chance. Yeah, you've just said the wrong thing, mate. You know, that's, you know, and sometimes, even though it seems a natural thing, it's like, that's just the wrong thing to say to me. You know, sometimes it's, because I'm stubborn. I'm stubborn. I am. I know I am. But this is what's got me to where I am, where I've kept on going. I've been stubborn for Jesus. I've been stubborn in such a way that I wouldn't give up on Daniel. Stephen wouldn't give up on him. He's now preaching, he's a minister in the healing church. But you know, we could have given up on him. But I'm a stubborn beggar. You see, I don't accept defeat easily. You know, because we are on the Lord's side. We're on the Lord's side. And I've read the end of the book. We win. So I'm going to be stubborn for my victories. Did you see it? I said victories. Not one victory. Victories. I'm stubborn for my victories. And you know, we have to press through. And you're listening to all this fear. And the best thing you can do, I mean, I must admit tonight, I watched the 6 o'clock news. Right? And that was just simply to hear what's going off. And I've got to be honest with you, I haven't watched the news all week. For at least a fortnight. I don't want to hear the negativity. Because all it does, it puts poison into your mind, it puts poison into your spirit, and you begin to think under the weight of somebody else's problems. Of somebody else's fears. And that's not what God asked for us. And I was sharing with the folks just online a few minutes ago, and I thought, just be good to share tonight as well. Turn in your Bible in the Old Testament to Job, the book of Job. After King's Chronicles and Nehemiah, the book of Job. Just test, yeah, one before Psalms. It's another easy one. Jesus, wonderful name. And verse 25. Let's have a look at verse 24. For my groanings come at the sight of my food, and my cries pour out like water. For what I fear comes upon me, and what I dread befalls me. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I am not at rest, but turmoil comes. Why? Because that's what I fear comes upon me. You know, you hear people who I'm afraid that so and so might happen, and they're living in this fear of something that is might. Now, might is a very loose word. Might is not a definite item, is it? It's just it's a maybe even. It might. Yeah, but it might not. You know, there's two sides to might, and it might not. But most of the time, you hear it on the media. You know, this might happen. Yeah, but this might not happen as well. But they don't ever say that, do they? And they leave us in this focus of fear. Because fear controls you. Fear is a controller. Some marriages live in a fear realm. And that fear is there to control. I've seen it. I've lived in some of it. Not I've lived a married life in it, don't get me wrong. Better put that straight, because when I get home I might get into serious trouble then, eh? I might be then living in fear. The fear that I might not get fed tonight, something like that, but you know. Oh, glory to Jesus. But no, as a child I've seen it. This dominance and controlling nature. And it's all done by fear. To keep people in place. You see, we're free in Christ Jesus. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. Jesus did not come to put fear upon us. He came to deliver us from fear. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so we have to realize that God moves in a wonderful way in our lives. Now, people will say, well, have you read the book of Job? Yes, I have. And I know you haven't, bless you, but that time will come. But just to give you an overview, Job had a family. He was a wealthy man. He was a well-respected man. He loved God. And what he used to do, he used to make sacrifices every day just in case his 7 children committed any sins. Yeah, because this was pre-everything, you know. This is like, this Job actually is about the first book written in the Bible. And so Job is every day he's offering a sacrifice to God just in case his children last night were sinning whilst they were partying. Right? Not that they had, but they might. So he thought, I'd better make a sin offering just in case that they might sin. But then again, they might not. And he lived his life with this fear that his family were going to fall into sin and be judged by God. So he was continually offering sacrifices. Well, the thing happened that basically he lost all his children. He lost all his flocks. He lost all his money. He lost his health, you see, because fear will take your health. Fear will make you sick. Because it drains your very spirit. It drains your life source. And so he lost everything. And he was ended up, he was covered in boils from head to toe. He was in absolute agony. Now this only went for about 9 months. Right? Some people like to think it went on for a long time, but it didn't. And even his wife got to that point where she turned around and said, "Now, you silly old beggar, why don't you curse your God and die?" That's great, isn't it? You know, even his friends, he had three friends come round and tell him, "You must have done something wrong, Job. You really must have done it wrong." You know, he's the most righteous man on the earth at that time, basically. But, well, you know, just because things are going wrong in your life, it means that you've done something wrong. No, it doesn't. You see, the devil had come to before God and said, "Let me have a go at him." Did he? Have you considered? You see, Satan arrives in, goes into heaven and stands before God, and God says to him, "You see my servant Job? What a wonderful man he is. He loves me, worships me." The devil says to him, he says, "Well, you take that wall of protection." Now, did you hear that? You take away the wall of protection that's around his life that you God have put there. Oh, glory to God. Let's live in that wall of protection that God has placed around us. Huh? And so God says, "Okay, I'll remove the wall of protection, but you can't take his life." Hallelujah. Then maybe the odd thing comes, and you can't take the lives. The lives belong to God. So basically what happened? You're rushing me, aren't you now? You're rushing me now. She's getting all excited about it in here. She's rushing me to get to the point. So as that 9 months or so went on, you know, he went through all this turmoil and trouble and strife and everything that went on. He never cursed God. Came to a point where he blessed God and thanked God for his life and everything that God had given him and allowed in his life. He even actually led his friends into a better relationship with God. Amazing, isn't it? Even in his difficulty and his trials, he was still pointing people to the eternal God. But then when you get to Job chapter 42, the last chapter in the book. Ah, this is it. You see, everybody says, "Consider Job. Remember all the trouble he went through." Oh, you know, Job's comforters, we call them, don't we? Consider Job. Oh, just think about all that trouble he had. Yeah, but read the end of the book. Yeah. You see, the end of the book, verse. Where shall we start from? Verse 10. This is where it starts. Job chapter 42 and verse 10. "And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he had prayed for his friends, and the Lord increased all that Job had twofold." Oh, hallelujah. We've got a God who is a double portion God. Amen. You see, but did you notice? He didn't pray for himself. He prayed for his friends. And in praying for his friends, he took his eyes off himself and he fixed his eyes, his spiritual eyes, on his Heavenly Father God. And he's prayed for his friends. And then it says in verse 11, "Then all his brothers and all his sisters who had known him before came to him, and they ate bread with him in his house, and they consoled him and comforted him for all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him." You see, they didn't quite get that right. The Lord didn't do it. The Lord allowed the devil an opportunity to test. Job was being tested for his faith. He says, "And each one gave him a piece of money and each a ring of gold. And the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning." And that he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camel, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys, and he had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and the name of the first was, and we'll leave it at that, but verse 16, "And after this, Job lived 140 years, and so his sons and grandsons and 4 generations, and Job died an old man and full of days." So he lived another 140 years after that situation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on. You know. You see, he got away from the fear. And he fixed his eyes upon God. He fixed his eyes upon God. He didn't have a Bible to read like we have, right? So he had to look through the eye of faith. He had to look through spiritual eyes. He had to reach out. There was no Bible. There was no Old Testament. This is the first book, basically. I know. But you see, they learned to walk a spiritual walk. This is the thing that we're all growing into. But your family is going to be enormous. He said, look at the stars. Now, I know we were talking about this the other day, weren't we? And God said, look at the stars. And if you've ever been in a country where there is just about no light, say out in the desert somewhere, or on a lake where there's no light around, and you look up and you see the Milky Way, and you just go, there's no way can you count the stars, is there? It is totally impossible to count them. They're just fine pin drops, and you're just like, wow. And that's just our galaxy. There's much more yet to be seen. But you see, what God was really saying to Abraham was, you see, in the stars, I've written the story of creation. I've written about the coming Christ. I've written about his death. I've written about his resurrection. And I've written about his bride, the church. And it's all written in the stars. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Our God is an awesome God. And you know, I read this today in a devotion. And I just want to read it to you. It's titled Shake It Off. Shake It Off, right? You know, shake it off. Shake fear off. Shake that thinking off you. And it says, one spring day, Farmer Green's donkey fell into a well. The animal brayed loudly as Mr. Green tried to figure out a solution. He finally decided that since the animal was old and that the well needed to be covered up anyway, it just wasn't worth it to rescue the donkey. So he recruited his neighbours to help, and they gathered all and grabbed shovels and began to toss dirt into the well. At first the donkey realized what was happening and wailed louder. After several minutes, however, he quietened down. And the neighbors were amazed how calm the animal had become. Farmer Green finally looked down the well and was astounded at what was happening. And what he saw, with every shovel of dirt that hit the donkey's back, the animal did something incredible. He shook the dirt off and he took a step up. As Farmer Green's neighbours continued to shovel the dirt on top of the animal, the donkey continued to shake it off and step up. It wasn't long until the donkey was able to step over the edge of the well and simply trot off. We can't go through life without having some dirt tossed on us. Every single one of us will experience trials and loneliness. When life tosses dirt in your path, you have a choice. Let it bury you alive, or shake it off and step forward. Try to view your problems as stepping stones if you will choose, you can actually learn from your trials. Can you imagine that? You know, trying to bury the donkey. The donkey's smarter, eh? You know. Finally, he climbs out because he's not going to let that situation bury him. Don't let the fears and things that are going on around us bury us. God has not come to bury us. God has come to set us free. God has come to give us life. God has come to give us freedom. And listen, I've not waited 25 years to get a church building that God promised me 25 years ago for all of a sudden, just because of some stupid darn virus that is going to shut the place down, shut every church down, going to kill me and the congregation. It ain't happening. It's not going to happen. I have a calling on my life. You have a calling on your lives. And God has made us a promise. And God said He's going to fill this place. And if He's going to fill it, He's not filling it with dead people. Glory to God. So we've a hope, we've a certain hope, we've a future. And there's a presence and a power in this building. And in your lives also. And so God is calling us. God is equipping us. But you know, God is also challenging us. When fear comes, what are you going to do with it? When fear knocks at your door, are you going to let him in or are you going to punch him out? Because that's what we've got to do. Are you going to stand on him and walk over him rather than let him walk over you? Are you going to bury fear or let fear bury you? We have to rise above these things. And as we rise above them and see God moving in power, because you see, the world is looking for answers. Do you know something? We've got the answer. We've got the answer. And the answer is Jesus. We have the answer. And the answer is Jesus. And without Jesus, we wouldn't exist. Without Jesus, we wouldn't survive. But because of the Christ, we can live and breathe and have our being. We can live to the vision and to the promises that God has for our lives. You did not get saved in March to die in September, October, November, whenever. You were saved to serve the living God. You were saved to speak the word of the living God. You were saved to set other captives free. Amen. We're a people of presence and power. With a purpose. And we're protected. There's four P's for you. Hallelujah. That's the Illuminati. That's done, isn't it? That's me. You know, being a Bible college, done that. Being there, got the T-shirt. Right, okay. Glory to God. Let's go with the anointing. Let's press through. Because in that, we have victory. In the presence and the anointing and the power of God, we have the victory. Again and again and again and again. And that's what God is for us. Greater is He that is in you than Him that is in the world. Greater is He, the Christ, who lives in each and every one of us. He's greater than the devil who seeks to live and control the world. But He's not controlling me, because we are not people of this world. Get that into your mind. We are not people of this world. We're chosen for another destiny. We're chosen with a purpose. And we are heavenites. Hallelujah. Amen. Our destination, the kingdom of heaven. Yeah. Amen. Oh, glory to God. The door's open, you know. The throne room door is wide open for us to enter into the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. No sickness and disease shall come near your tent. God has promised us. And you know, and said, well, I haven't seen it working. Well, get your faith working. Get hold of this. Get hold of this. And stand on the word of God. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 6, and when you've done everything in verse 13, what do you have to do? Stand. What else do I have to do, Lord? Stand, it says. It says it twice. Stand. Yeah, but, no buts. No buts. I know that I know. We have to come to that place where we know that we know that we know. You see, you came to a place that you know 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 you're saved. Right? You don't care what anybody else says. People can drag your past up. That person's dead. We buried her. I got photographs of it. And we raised her up into new life. We got a record. Hallelujah. Yeah. And so we have to repress into this and hold this promise that we have in God in our lives. God is equipping us. God is preparing us. You see, just a few years back, God said, Andrew, your ministry is about to change. Now, when God says it's about to change, what does about mean? I have no idea how long about is, but But he said, we'll be out on the mission fields more. I know what we're doing. We're taking folk out on mission fields. We are going to see people inspired, bring them back, fired up, and they are going to let loose and set this place on fire, this area for Jesus. Set our nation on fire for Christ. The hub. Yes. And the fire is going to go down those spokes of that hub, and it's going to set out a blaze around this area and through the nation. That's what God's called us to. If you can't believe it, you've got to start praying about it. God, I'm called for this, Lord. I'm called. I believe you, Lord. I'm going to see this happen. And don't say, oh, but, I'm 70. Oh, Moses did not get started until he was 80. David's been going about 5 years now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Many people call, God's promise is like 70 years and maybe the next few years will be with struggle and strife. When you read the psalmist, the promise is for 120 years. Hallelujah, come on. We're going to be riding our bike for at least another 40 odd years yet. Hey, hallelujah. Come on, Jesus. That's right, with long life, I'm going to satisfy you. Praise God. I knew you'd go for that one. So some of you younger ones, you've a long way to go yet. Glory to Jesus. And the more we have of the presence and the power of God in our meetings, the more we're going to see signs, wonders and miracles. The more we're going to see healings. The more we're going to see God doing great and mighty things that will astound us. And cause us to realize that we're just touching the edge. There's much more to possess. The people looked, that Joshua and 11 others went in and they looked at the promised land and said, oh, it's great. Oh, it's fantastic. There are cities all built. There are houses all there waiting for us. There's fantastic crops. There's bunches of grapes. They're this big. They're massive. Grapes are like gobstoppers. And they're ever so sweet. Oh, they say it's an absolutely fabulous place. They had to bring them back. Two of them carrying a bunch of grapes. Yeah. And then Bot came and said, but there are giants in the land. They're bigger than us. They've got spears and swords. We've never fought in his life. What are we going to do? Yeah, we saw ourselves as grasshoppers, They'll trample us down. No. But they put fear into the nation. And then for the next 40 years, they wandered around the wilderness. Don't try and put fear on me, because I'm not going to waste 40 years wandering around the wilderness. Okay? I'm not having it. I'm going into the promised land. We're taking possession of what rightly belongs to us. Those lives that need Christ, we're taking possession of those lives for Jesus, so that they can find the joy, the peace and satisfaction that is there for them in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's what we call to. That's what we save for. That is what God is going to do in our lives. Amen. And doing it with us together. And we together doing it with each other together. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know, we're not going to do it on our own. It's going to be teams of people together. It's going to be the church, the groups of people together doing it. Standing together, praying together, singing together, worshipping together,
yes,
studying the Word of God together, getting spiritual revelation together.
Yes.
Because it's a revelation. You see, you can read this book and you don't see God. There are people who've read, there are very educated people who've read this Bible and they've got to the end of it and said, there is no God. Absolute fools. They missed it. But you see, you can't find God in your mind. God is spirit. And God is revealed by the Spirit to our spirit. And the more we want to know of Him, the revelation has to come by the Spirit into here. Glory to Jesus. And when that revelation comes, it brings and breeds life. And we become pregnant with the presence and the power of God. Well, guess what? Every pregnancy has a delivery date.
Amen.
Does it not?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. Has a delivery date. So every pregnancy. So let's get pregnant spiritually. Let's have some more delivery dates. Hallelujah. And let's see the power of God just moving, flowing, and the dimensions of the spiritual realm breaking through in these meetings, in this place, in our lives, so that, you know, suddenly we're functioning at another level. The double portion level. Yes, shall flow rivers of living water. Glory to God. Amen. Well, I better just call it a night at that. Praise God. Otherwise, if I carry on, I should just go on all night. I am so excited and so thrilled with what I believe God is going to do. Glory to God.